Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. When it comes to wealth and or opportunity, God checks us out.
Think about that.
He checks us out to determine our response to His Word and His commands.
In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, it says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no." Wow.
It's easy to follow God's, to follow when things are good. But the real measure of our faith is how we act and react when times are tough.
That's true.
In the midst of adversity, God wants to make sure that we're depending on Him to deliver us from every attack of the enemy, and even from the success that we enjoy through our obedience.
Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 says that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
Our obedience to God and His Word is an absolute prerequisite to experiencing the seven kinds of wealth that we're going to talk about on today's call. Number one, God wants you to have good land. Deuteronomy 8, verses 7 and 8. "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, water, fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey." What makes a land good? Flowing water, springs for the valleys and hills, where crops are grown. Crops like wheat and barley. Other things like vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. The land God wants you to have just isn't any land. It's a good land. Question. When praying about increase, do you ask God to give you good land? If not, you should. Throughout history, land has always been important. It's no different today.
Hallelujah.
One more thing. Hallelujah. There's almost always good things underneath the good land.
How about that? Number two, you will be in a place where you lack for nothing. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8, verse 9. Deuteronomy 8, 9 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "A land in which you shall eat food without shortage and lack nothing in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper." Wow. You may have been traveling through enemy territory, but your God is going to bring you into a fresh place where every need will be met and you will lack for nothing. I like that phrase. In fact, we lay claim to it, don't we, honey?
Yes, we do.
Making it a part of our daily confession. You need to personalize it. I will lack for nothing. I will lack for nothing. Harold Herring will lack for nothing. Bruce will lack for nothing. That sounds pretty good to me. But it gets even better when we remember that it's the Lord our God and what He's done for us. Hallelujah.
Number three, houses you can be proud of. Deuteronomy 8:12. "That's when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built godly houses and dwelt therein." You'll have a good house. Now, you may have left a house behind in Egypt during your time of bondage to debt, but rejoice. You're going to have good houses. And notice the scripture doesn't say that you're going to have a house. It says you're going to have houses. Did you hear that? What is a goodly house? Deuteronomy 8:12 in the New Living Translation says, "For when you become full and prosperous, and have fine homes to live in." Your house may not be featured in the million-dollar houses or rooms on the home and garden television network, though they could be. But you'll never again have to be ashamed of where you live. And by the way, we love, I'll say I love, playing Monopoly with our children.
No, boy, still do.
Still do. You know, it's kind of taken on an entirely new meaning. I'm ready to buy property, houses, hotels, railroads, and utility companies. I want people paying me rent. I'm ready for Park Place and Boardwalk.
You are too funny. And he still hasn't given it up, even though the kids are grown.
And so does my friend Clay. He likes Monopoly, too.
Yeah. Number four, you're tending your own flocks and herds, not somebody else's. Deuteronomy 8, verse 13 continues, and when they thy herds and thy flocks multiply. And you notice the word, it says thy, meaning the flocks and herds that are multiplying are yours and yours alone. Shepherds, for the most part, back then, were always paid a wage to tend somebody's flocks and herds. Being a shepherd was not an easy job. It was often grueling and long, and subject to extremes of weather and drought and wild animals. However, Deuteronomy 8:13 clearly points out that your flocks and herds are now multiplying. And in the Old Testament, as we've said many times, wealth was often measured by the size of a person's flock or herd. So it was critical for a person to know the location of every animal and its physical condition. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 2, it says, the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds.
Hallelujah. Number five, more and more money will come be coming your way. Let me say that again. More and more money will be coming your way. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8:13, last part of it says, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Now, we don't know about you, but we like the word multiplied. When it comes to money and possessions, multiplication is better than addition.
That's right.
You know, honey, I also like the Message Bible translation, Deuteronomy 8:11-13. It says, make sure you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules and regulations that I command you today. Make sure when you eat, make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, build pleasant houses and settle in, see your herds and flocks flourish, and more money come in. Watch your standard of living going up and up.
Yeah.
And let me say this. God wants to raise your standard of living, not for what you can get, but so that it'll raise your standard of giving.
But when you do raise your standard of giving, then God continues to raise your standard of living.
That's exactly right.
Number six, when God's on your side, there are no limitations to your future. Ooh, I could just get excited. Deuteronomy 8:15-16. Deuteronomy 8, verses 15 and 16 says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock, the water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end? Sometimes we don't realize that when we're going through the middle of something, it's to prove us, to get us ready for the next step. When we're in the middle of a financial desert, with seeming enemies all around, no water, no food, no family to help us out of a tight spot, just remember God is doing more for you right now than you can see, so he can bring you into the manifestation of things you can see. God will fight battles for you. In Exodus 23, verse 22 says, but if you will indeed listen to and obey his voice, I will be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversaries. It means listening to the voice of the Lord and doing what he says. in Romans 8:31, Romans 8 verse 31 in the Classic Amplified, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? You need to personalize that. If you don't have that down in you, I mean personalize that. You have a silent partner in life who is never silent and who always is willing to stand up for you.
If God is for Yvette, who can be against her?
That's right.
Who can be her foe if God is on her side? That's a great, you're right, that's a great verse to personalize.
Yes, it is.
And I also love, you know, where the scripture says, those were great scriptures. Amen. I'll be an enemy
to your enemies.
Hallelujah. God gets us out of tight spots.
That's like Jesus, your older brother, showing up, you know, when the bullies show up.
He's
behind you, ready to take them on.
That's it. And, you know, that statement, we've said it for years. And it's important that you get this down inside of you. And to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is doing more for you right now that you can't see.
Yeah.
So he can bring into manifestation the things that you can see.
The key is to be faithful, and I mean faithful.
Number 7, you have the ability to get wealth, but you need to do something with it. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto his fathers, as it is this day. First, the verse is saying we should always remember the Lord our God, which was consistent in the earlier part of this teaching. Read or listen to this teaching again. We can't read it, but you can listen to it. Listen to this teaching again, so you can grasp the fullness of what's being said. No matter how successful we become, we should never forget who our source is, the one who enables and empowers us to be successful and prosperous. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Second, the verse says that it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. The power to get wealth is not something of our own creation or born through our abilities, but it's only the Lord who gives us the power to get wealth. It's important to realize that God never will give us something, will never give us a power, unless he wants us to use it.
That's right.
Third and finally, God gives you the power, the ability to get wealth. So can you say hallelujah? One final thought. We understand that you may have worked hard to get where you are, but we also know that it was the Lord who gave you a brain to think with, the strength of body to work, the health to function properly, and the skills to create possibilities. In short, we are who we are and where we are because of who's in us.
That's
true. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, put it on your calendar, set a timer, an alarm.
That's it.
To join us tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern for Sunday Night Live.
Sunday Night Live.
It's going to make you shout, jump up and down, and run around the room. Hallelujah.
We're going to soon be broadcasting on our station. We're working on that.
Yes, we are.
And so we're holding our little services down to like 28 minutes,
That's
right?
It. That's what we're doing.
So
get it ready for television.
That's it.
Also, want to say to you, we mailed a letter.
Yes.
On Thursday. And the outside of it, it says 4 words for you. For the remainder of 2019.
Hallelujah.
And it is a God-inspired letter. Make sure you read it.
You got 6 months left, almost 6 months.
That's
it. It's a little more.
Short of 7 days.
That's
6 months and a week.
So.
Well, till tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern and tomorrow morning at 8:30 and every day at 8:30 Eastern. God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.